Good morning, church. What a joy it is to be with you today. I hope that you brought a Bible. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28 and the Word of God as we begin there in just a moment. I appreciate so much the efforts of the brothers leading us in our worship this morning. Brother Tim and Brother Todd. Brother Tomley and his words at the table was very good. And I don't know if you noticed, but I certainly noticed that the words on the screen were much brighter. And I want to give a special word of thanks to some fellows who've worked on a project for quite some time to have a new projector and have that bright picture. I want to thank Brother David, Brother Shane, Brother Eric, Brother Josh. There may have been some others involved in the installation as well, but I know of those, and I appreciate it so, so much. My name is Andrew Roberts, and it's my privilege to stand before you and to share with you a study in the Word of God. If you're a guest, you're going to find that there's an interactive outline that goes along with this lesson on page 3 of the program. So if you have your Bible and you want to take some notes, page 3 is the place to go as we begin. This month, we are doing a series, In the Beginning of Our Walk, God. We're studying on walking with the Lord. In the beginning of our walk, we're talking about walking with God and following God. It's a month focused on our discipleship and being disciples. Of course, a disciple is a follower, but it is more than a follower. It is a student. It is a learner. It is an apprentice. That's what the word means. That's the definition. And we are students. We are learners. We are apprentices of Jesus Christ. And in this congregation, I think especially, we talk a lot about disciples and discipleship because we understand it is God's mission for His church to go and to make disciples. That's what Jesus sent His people to do. That's why we see in Matthew 28, verse 19. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And so when we talk about being a disciple, particularly here at Livingston, we talk a lot about our circle of discipleship. And what is a disciple? A disciple honors God, learns from God, loves like God, and leads others to God, all while abiding in God's Word. That's what disciples are. And I love that because here in this circle, you have our purpose as a local church, as well as the process all together. It is really great. We're about making disciples. And it's encouraging to be a part of a church that is so intentional and passionate about God's mission. That's the way it ought to be. It may not always be that way. A few years ago, I attended a lecture where a brother was speaking. He was and is very respected older preacher. And he made a statement that just, it rings in my ears, and it has for some time. Now, he was speaking largely to an audience of ministers and elders and leaders in churches, but he made this statement. He said, I fear we've done a better job at making listeners than making learners in the church. I think we did a better job at making listeners than learners in the church. And what he was getting at is that brethren are really good about assembling together, and they're really good about listening to the preacher, and they're really good about encouraging and patting them back and saying, good job, preacher. I mean, sometimes people will even stay awake for a whole sermon. And that's a positive thing. That's a positive thing. But then drilling down into the issue, are they equipped to learn for themselves? Are they interested in learning for themselves the way of Christ? You see, if we make disciples, then we are to make learners. Because discipleship is all about learning and growth and spiritual formation. We always can be learning something so that we are growing and expanding. I think in at least one of three ways that we are growing deeper in our relationship with God, or we are growing closer in our fellowship as a church, or we are growing bolder in our proclamation of the lost. Deeper with the relationship with God, closer in fellowship with the church, bolder in our proclamation to the lost. Deeper, closer, bolder. And if you look in the mirror and you say, I don't think I am growing in these ways. I do not grow in these ways. Well, look, that doesn't mean that you're some horrible, terrible hypocrite. But you know what it does mean? It means you've got to get back to learning. We've got to get back to learning.
That's what a disciple is, so that we really do walk with God. A disciple learns from God. And in a few minutes, I'm going to ask you, do you want to be a learner? I'm going to ask, what do you want? Do you want to be like Jesus? Do you want to walk with God? And I'm so glad that you're here this morning, because today we're going to be seeing together very practically how we learn to learn from God. And if you want to be a disciple, you want to be a learner, you want to learn from God, I'm going to encourage you, you're in the right place this morning. Let's get started. Let's go to the Word of God. In our notes, the first thing we want to see is that if we're going to learn from God, we learn to learn from Christ. We must learn to learn from Christ. I want to go to Matthew chapter 10, and I hope that you will go there as well. To Matthew chapter 10 in your New Testament. As I said a moment ago, a disciple is a follower, a learner, a student, an apprentice. Who's the teacher? Jesus is the teacher. And in Matthew chapter 10 in verse 24, Jesus said, "A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for a disciple that he be like his teacher, and a servant like his master." We are learning from our teacher Jesus. We are servants of our master Jesus. And we are learning to be like Jesus. To be like him. Oh, that is enough. Oh, to be like him. But it really raises a question. Consider the Gospels. Consider the New Testament for a moment. How did, in the Bible now, how did Jesus' disciples follow him to learn from him? And it's not really a trick question. We say, what do you mean, how did they follow him? They followed him. Yeah, they did. They literally, they physically, they immediately followed him. You think about the 12. What do? Well, they left their jobs. Left their dad in the boat with the nets. And what do? They travel all over Galilee, listening to Jesus, listening to his teaching and his sermons, whether he's down in the synagogue or up on the mountaintop or on the hillside, out in the fields. They followed. They followed and they saw. They witnessed. They witnessed his miracles. They witnessed the healings. They saw. They sailed with him. They walked with him. They ate with him. They worshiped with him. They camped out with him. Do you know that even if they did not particularly like where he was going, they followed him anyway? Notice this with me. In John chapter 11 and verse 16, Jesus is determined that he is going to head to Bethany and Jerusalem ultimately. And the disciples don't like that idea at all, because the Pharisees and religious leaders are out to get him. But he's determined to go. Verse 16 says, "Then Thomas, who is called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, 'Let us also go, that we may die with him.'" Well, there's a note of optimism. But they weren't going to stop following Jesus. They were disciples. Don't like where he leads, but that's where he's leading. We're going to follow him. Real statement there about discipleship, isn't there? In the Bible, disciples had this close relationship with Jesus that they might learn from him. Well, look, we're on a mission to grow deeper in our relationship with God. And it is by the gospel of Jesus Christ that he shows his love and his wisdom to justify us of our sins through Jesus' death upon the cross. Jesus paid for our sins at the cross. He offers us forgiveness. And Jesus arose from the grave on the third day to live forevermore as king. And when we believe his gospel, we repent of our sins and sinfulness. We are baptized. That means immersed in water. We are immersed in water. Our state is changed. And we have become one of his followers, a disciple. It is Jesus who sent those 12 out to make disciples in just this way. I read it a moment ago, Matthew 28, verses 19 through 20. But I have highlighted for you in red. I think you can see that red. "Go therefore and make the disciples." How do we make disciples? We're baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. But disciples are learners, and so we are teaching them to observe everything that the Lord has commanded. Well, that's what he sent out the 12 to do. That's what the church is doing. But do you see where you and I fit into this picture? We're the people. We're the people called by the gospel. We're the people who have been baptized for the remission of our sins, baptized in the Christ. We're the people who are learning.
all that he has commanded and stated through his word, that we might follow him, that we are close to him. We're his followers, we're the disciples, we're the learners, so we learn to learn from Christ. 2,000 years ago, they were walking all around following him to learn from him. How are we going to follow him today? Number two in your notes, we're going to learn to study Scripture. Learn to learn from Christ. And where is Christ speaking? He's speaking in the Scriptures. The Word of God, the Bible. That's number two. Learn to study Scripture. We find it in such passages as 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, where the minister Timothy is told by the Holy Spirit through Paul's pen, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Diligence. That means we work hard at it. That means we try our best at handling rightly the word of God. That we are the word of truth. That we should never be ashamed before God. We shouldn't be ashamed before God. We can read this. We can understand this. As the Apostle Paul wrote by inspiration, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 3. He says, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery. Paul's an inspired person. The Holy Spirit has given him revelation. But now catch the rest of this. As I have briefly written already, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Christians, you don't need to be looking for your own private revelations. We're getting revelations all the time. There were those appointed to have revelations, those apostles, but then they wrote. And he says, you can read what we wrote and you will understand. You will have it. So what does that mean? Well, I've got to study Scripture. Jesus is speaking. The Lord is speaking. It is written and I need to know it. We learn God's plan for us and his will for us by reading the Word of God. That's the Bible. It is a tremendous book, the Bible. Disciples, read the Bible, for it is the Word of God. I have observed my limited experience, but I do have some experience, but I have observed that people who complain that they don't get very much out of the Bible often don't read the Bible all that much. And the people who read it often are constantly amazed at all the wonderful things that they are finding. I will tell you this morning that if you read it, it will bless you. You will learn. You will grow. There's going to be some application of yourself to this. Is it said to be diligent or to study to show yourself approved? And sometimes it's so wonderful in the age that we live to be able to identify and to find tools that help us in our study. Tools that help us learn more and understand God's Word. Sometimes we're reading the Bible and we want to take a commentary on the shelf and find a little more exposition of what may be something we're reading. Or we get out a good atlas or maps. We want to get out a Bible dictionary, a lexicon, look at the root of a word. Those kinds of tools are good and that's fine. I believe it's the providence of God to have so much good information about the Bible, which encourages us in our understanding as we read the Bible. But understand, my friend, we need to be reading the Bible. We need to be reading the Bible itself. And it's so important. It's something that we offer practical helps for here, and particularly the Livingston Church does. We're passionate about it. Disciples learn from God. We got to learn to study Scripture. One way we do that is participating in the Bible classes here at Livingston. That's something we offer. We have Bible classes for all ages. We've just started a new trimester of classes. It's a good time for me to pause and say thank you to all the teachers who've just turned over the reins to the new batch of incoming teachers. A trimester is a huge commitment in time for your work, for your study, the preparation. You walk around and look at the classes. You can see what dedicated teachers there are here. And maybe you're a guest here today. Maybe you didn't get here in time for the Bible classes. I want to highly recommend them to you. I want to assure you that your children are going to learn the Word of God, the Bible in this place. And they're going to know it as good or better as any of the secular courses they get in their schools. Because we are dedicated to teaching the Word of God in this place. A disciple learns from God. So we study Scripture. We participate in Bible classes. Have your own daily Bible reading. Something else that we have at the information desk and some other places around is a calendar to read the Bible through in a year. That's a really good thing to do. What a fantastic goal to have. And as you take that schedule, you say, well, I mean, after all, it is January. What a great time to start a goal like that, to read the Bible through in a year. Here's a map something free to take with you to do. And not only that, but we have a daily email or blog message that goes along with the Bible reading schedule. If you go to our website, christiansmeethere.org, you'll find the link to click on. You can either go read the blogs or subscribe and get an email to you. It's fantastic. Edwin writes those. They're short little blurbs that go along with the reading of that day. And I tell you what, even if you haven't read that day's Bible reading, you read that email, you say, "Oh, well, that's what I forgot to do. I need to go do the Bible reading." And it's good to read those little messages to make sure Edwin's keeping up. Practical helps that we offer to try to encourage each of us to study Scripture individually and here in the congregation, because we have to learn to study Scripture. So here's how we start. Here's how you get started. You have to set a time and a place for daily Bible reading. If you don't make a plan to do it, it's not going to happen. Gets crowded out, pushed out real quick. But when we set a time, when we set a place, we know we've got the tools, we've got the Bible, we've got a plan to read it, we're getting support, encouragement to continue on. We're going to study Scripture. We're going to learn from Jesus by hearing His Word. Learn to learn from Jesus. Number three, learn to pray regularly. Learn to pray regularly. You say, "Well, hang on now, isn't prayer talking to God? Don't we learn when we listen as opposed to talk?" Well, I'll just say that you do have to listen to learn. But learning is more than just listening. And a huge part of our spiritual formation into discipleship happens in prayer. That's something the 12 wanted to know about. In Luke chapter 11, verse 1, they approached Jesus about this. "Now it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that when his one of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples.'" It wasn't, "Lord, should we pray? Is it good to pray?" No, no, no. It was, "How should we pray?" Jesus prayed. They wanted to pray too. Jesus prayed often. Now, if you go with me in your Bible to Luke chapter 11, because I don't want to put all this up on the screen. But in Luke chapter 11, the Lord gave them this model prayer. Now catch some of these phrases. They'll probably sound familiar to some of you. But in Luke chapter 11, verse 2, "So he said to them, 'When you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. Do not lead us into temptation, but to deliver us from the evil one.'" Fantastic. Fantastic. Lord, teach us to pray. And he sets forth this model. If we're going to learn to be like the teacher, learn to be like Jesus, we're going to pray. And it's wonderful to think and consider that God wants to hear from you. Do you doubt it, disciple? Don't. You don't need to doubt this. The center of all the universe is wanting to hear your voice, your heart. That's amazing. And it is humbling. And in Jesus' model prayer, he said this. He said, "Your kingdom come, your will be done." That has a nice ring to it, doesn't it? I know when I was trying to learn the model prayer as a kid and memorize that, I loved to get to that part because it was towards the beginning and it rhymed. "Your kingdom come, your will be done. Your kingdom come, your will be done." I could get that far with it. But you begin to think about those words, that they don't just roll off the tongue. And it is a huge lesson to pray, "Thy will be done," and mean it. It's huge. In fact, when Jesus would tell us to pray that, it's something he practiced himself. Do you recall the night of his betrayal? How he prayed three times in the Garden of Gethsemane? This same statement, "Thy will be done." In Matthew 26, verse 42, we kind of drop into the second time. Again, a second time, he went away and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done." It was amazing. A year or so ago when I got to go to Israel and to take a tour and to be in the Garden of Gethsemane.
and to appreciate that how this garden sits at the base of the Mount of Olives. That you're basically a stone's throw away from the temple gate in the wall. That when Jesus was praying these words, he very well could see the doors opening up on that gate and a mob approaching him. That he had given himself up to be easily found because of where he stood to pray. And he prayed, "Your will be done." It's remarkable. What do disciples learn by praying? Well, the gospel encourages us to pray again and again. And I think we could at least point out four virtues that are discovered as we dedicate ourselves to pray regularly. The first is a dependence on God. A dependence on God. If the Lord wills, we shall do this or do that. If the Lord wills, thy will be done. God is our Father, and he wants you to know that you can depend on him. And yet when we pray and when we ask for things like, give us this day our daily bread, it is the expression, it is the development of dependence on God. Where else shall we go but to our Father? And disciples need to learn that, need to be formed by that. We do it in prayer. Humility before God. In James chapter 1 and verse 5, we are encouraged to pray and to ask a particular request, a particular petition for wisdom. James 1 and verse 5, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. You say, well, then prayer brings us wisdom. Well, it certainly can. But what I want you to appreciate is, when you say, I don't know, you're learning humility. I don't have all the answers. I'm not sure the next step. This is humility and asking God for the wisdom and asking God for the guidance. Likewise, in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, it talks about confessing our sins to God. And when we say to God, I have sinned and I seek forgiveness, we are confident and assured that his blood will cleanse us as his people. But it is humility. It is saying, it is owning up. I'm wrong. I have done wrong. I have failed, and I'm sorry. Confess your sins. We're learning humility. Humility. We are low before God, who is high, who is mighty. In prayer, we learn and express gratitude toward God. To pray without ceasing, and in all things, give thanks. Brethren are concerned. I'm not always thankful. Everything comes my way, I don't think I can always say thank you for. Can we have an attitude of gratitude? Can we appreciate and remember that every good gift does come from the Father? You know, I think we struggle with that. I think our pride, again, wants to get the best of us sometimes and say, no, I've earned this and I've done this and it's all me and I've pulled myself up by my bootstraps. Thanksgiving and gratitude reminds us that every blessing has come from God. And in those hard and difficult times, gratitude helps us to count our blessings and realize that God has not forsaken us and we are not on our own. He's brought us to this far and he will continue on. We must continue with him. Gratitude toward God. It's a learned virtue. The last one I want to show you is contentment. And now notice this as I turn to 2 Corinthians with you to chapter 12 and verse 7. Where Paul talks about his prayer, about things troubling him. I'm not exactly sure what it was. He calls it a thorn in the flesh. That sounds awful. In 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 7, and lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. Now, what does that sound like? May this cup pass from me three times? Remove this thorn from me three times? Verse 9, and he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. That is an incredibly spiritually mature outlook, is it not? What can he confess and teach us here in the scripture? He had learned contentment with God. The thorn in the flesh was going to stay. But what did he have? The grace of God, which was sufficient. Weaknesses and infirmities may continue, but what did he have? The grace of God, which was sufficient. The strength and perfection in Christ that might only be found in these times of weakness. In praying this prayer and making this profession, we see contentment with God. In all of this, we're seeing how prayer grows our faith. How prayer grows our trust and expresses trust in God. That sharing in prayer brings you closer to the teacher. I am not saying that when you ask in prayer, you can expect an audible response. It doesn't work like that. But I do believe the scripture, then, so that if you ask, he will be on it. If you knock, the door will be open to you. So pray often. Set a time and a place for daily prayer. Had the opportunity to go up and see family over the holidays last couple of weeks. It was wonderful. It was very chilly. Some of you think this is cold. I left a state, Indiana. It was 16 degrees when I left that state. And buddy, that's cold. We had the opportunity to visit with Julie's grandmother, who's 102 years old. Sharp. And since I had a moment with her, I asked her, I said, Grandma, I said, what is your favorite part about the holiday and about Christmas? What did you like the best? And I thought she'd tell me a story about a baby doll as a child or something like that. But she thought about it for a moment. And she said this. She goes, I like the cards. I like the Christmas cards. I said, oh? She said, well, you get to know so many people and they're friends and they're really involved in your life for a time. But then you move on to another place, or they move on to another place. And she said, I don't want to say that you forget them, but because you never forget people, but a little bit you do. And then when that card comes and you see the picture and you hear the message, it brings up this wonderful relationship and all these memories again. And I love to get the cards because it brings to mind all those people I'd sort of forgotten about. Isn't that beautiful? Prayer is not a Christmas card. It shouldn't be that once or twice a year God hears your voice just to catch up. No, it's daily communication with God. We need to talk to God to be formed and learn to be disciples. I'm going to give you, finally then, if we're going to learn from Christ, we learn through church membership and ministry. We learn through church membership and ministry. Be a part of a local church. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. And Jesus, he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints. That's all the members of the church. For the work of ministry, so that saints can do the service, the work of God. For the edifying of the body of Christ, that is the building up of this church of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, a complete man, to the measure of the stature, the fullness of Christ, to be like Christ, which is what disciples are. And he says, here are these in the church, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, that are going to help all of us to do this together. By what we supply, as we build up. God has a plan for his children to be a family, to be a community, to be a congregation. It is the local church, and your membership in the church, your participation with the local church, it benefits you, it benefits others, all the members of the church, in very practical ways. We grow together, and together we grow, for we learn together through worship. Particularly in Colossians 3, verse 17, it talks about our song worship. But it says that we teach and admonish one another. Teach and admonish one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. By this content that we sing. And Brother Todd did such a wonderful job already leading our song worship. But he picked out a song. Did you catch it? A tune we all knew. Words we all didn't. Because the words were talking all about learning and being disciples. It was driven by this content, but we knew the tune. We could sing the song. It was beautiful, and God was glorified, but we were all taught something. We're all taught something. Learning from the pastors and the evangelists and the teachers, God said He put them here in the church to benefit the body. And not that any of these are perfect, infallible people. They're people who have learned more from Christ, maybe about a subject or in a time, than I have. And so I need to talk to them. They can show me some things in the Bible. They can explain maybe what I've read or what I'm reading. The Lord is using them so the disciples learn from the Lord. And we are blessed in this congregation to have a number of wonderful pastors, evangelists, and teachers. We are blessed. Good, godly examples, we find them in the local church. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 7. Hebrews 13 and verse 7. Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. It is wonderful to have the word of God and to read about these, you know, an Abraham and a Moses and John the Baptist and all these guys. And it's wonderful to read about those things. And they're real people and it all happened. But sometimes don't you need to look at somebody and see them? Sometimes don't you need to ask somebody a question and just get their input? Yeah, we do. We're to look to the local church to find good, godly examples, godly older women to teach younger women, shepherds, elders in the local church who lead by example. Finally, this morning, we find in the local church support by association with disciples. Peter talks about those in the church as those of a like precious faith in 2 Peter 1, verse 1. And how encouraging and edifying it is just knowing that here are people in this room, in this church, who are disciples themselves. And there are plenty of folks in the world, they don't get it. They don't get where we're coming from. Why do you think so differently? Why are you trying to live differently? Why do you make the sacrifices you make? Why do you talk the way you talk or dress the way you dress? I don't get it. I don't get it. But the people in the church, they get it. And they want to help you to learn and grow. And you help them to learn and grow. And that's real support and that's real benefit in a local church. We are in a mission to grow closer in our fellowship as a church. And one reason that happens is when we're learning from Christ together. Together. And if you're not a member of the church here, here's the next step. And for some reason it got cut off of page 3. That'll just drive you nuts, Todd. Attend the next Getting to Know Livingston session. That was the last thing I wanted you to write it down, was the word attend. Getting to Know Livingston session, which I believe is today, actually. And Brother Owen's going to be leading that. You can get all the information you need to know about that at the information desk at the back. But it's going to show you what this congregation is all about. God's plan for His church and your place in it. Presentation of the gospel. I mean, it's really a fantastic session. And we want to have more people. There's always room for more people in the congregation here at Livingston. And we want you to come to that session and take that step to come be a part of this local church. Because we learn from Christ as we're learning through local church membership and ministry. A disciple learns from God. If you want to take your songbook out, or actually you're going to see the words on a bright screen in just a moment, Brother Todd's going to come lead us in some more song worship, wonderful song worship. A disciple learns from God. Do you want to be a learner? Do you want to be like Jesus? Is that what you want to be? Because we can. We follow Him as we learn to study Scripture, pray regularly, assemble, participate in a local church. Very practically, this is how we learn from God. This is how we grow up in God. If that's your desire, then here's a chance for you to make it known, to make it known publicly. We're going to sing a song of encouragement. If you're not a committed Christian, a disciple of Jesus Christ, come forward and make that desire known. If we can baptize you into Jesus for the remission of your sins, we'll do that. If there's someone who's ready to rededicate their life to the Lord, they've done that. They've been baptized, but they need to be restored. They need to make a fresh start. If we could pray for you to encourage you about any spiritual need, we invite you to come forward and make it known now. Together we stand and sing. Won't you come?